Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just clicks. Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
You're on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We have a lot of really heavy news today, so indulge me in talking about something light and fun and exciting before we get into the deep stuff.
Bring it.
So, I've already talked to you about the exciting new holiday Netflix movie that's coming out where Chad Michael Murray is going to play a Christmas stripper to save some music hall or whatever. But I'm very excited to let you know that that is not the only Netflix Christmas movie that is coming out. We have another movie coming out called Hot Frosty. And it is not about a melted Wendy's ice cream. No, it is about a female character played by Lacey Chabert from Mean Girls, where a hot snowman comes to life. She sees him out in the park. He's some like ice sculpture or whatever. And then through the kindness of her heart, she puts this red scarf around his neck. And then through the magic of love or Christmas or hard drugs, I don't know, he comes to life. And they have this beautiful love story where she gets to now date the former Frosty the Snowman.
My favorite part is the person. I just saw this trailer yesterday and I was like, this is, I thought it was an SNL parody. Mm-hmm. Is the snowman is played by Ted from Schitt's Creek.
Oh, come on.
The boyfriend, Annie's boyfriend from Schitt's Creek. It's Ted and he is the snowman. He has longer hair though. And I'm like, I feel like I did the hard drugs watching this trailer.
Yeah, there's a superficial question I got here. Snowmen don't have any junk. So when...
Depends on how you build them.
Yeah. I've seen a carrot or two.
It's supposed to be in the face.
It is.
The snowman, though, when he's in snowman form, isn't like frosty all rounded. It's like the Statue of David in snowman form.
It's more of an ice sculpture.
Yeah, he has abs. Which, he has like 23 abs.
But he's also got shrinkage. I mean, if he's ice, it's cold. That's not going to be impressive.
That's true. I mean, well, nah, because if his whole body is cold, he might be used to it. It don't bother him.
Is it an icicle?
I don't know, but we just got paid for this last night.
I think most ER doctors would be like, please don't. Please don't. If you see an icicle this winter, ladies, just don't.
Keep going.
Don't stop.
Okay, well, back into the hard news. That wasn't even intended.
You already earned the Gracie this week.
I know.
This is not going to help.
All right. Cardi B has been hospitalized with an unknown medical emergency. We kind of already knew this when she was going off on Instagram Live. She was literally speaking to the people from her hospital bed, but we had no idea what was going on. But she has now canceled an appearance that she was supposed to have in Atlanta at a music festival, the One Music Fest, where she was supposed to be joined by Earth, Wind & Fire, Nelly, Gunna, and Glorilla. But she says that she's in the hospital recovering from something in the last couple of days and she won't be able to perform. Of course, like nobody would expect her to. She's literally in the hospital. But she says, I'll be back better and stronger soon. Don't worry. So hopefully she's doing okay.
Oh, there's still people out there that are mad at her. Even though she's sitting in a hospital, there are people here going to be mad at her.
Here's my thing. She didn't do a Chappelle Roan. She has like a real, she's a real, like a medical issue here. She's in the hospital. She's currently dealing with something. Like, people got to give her some grace.
She also took some time to fire back at people about Offset again on Twitter from the hospital bed. She's still going, man.
About what now?
She was telling people that they no longer live together because people were saying that at this point in the relationship, y'all shouldn't. And she was like, we don't. And she says she doesn't wish death upon him because he is still the father of her children. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, she wishes him absolutely no good.
Didn't she say she wishes he got hit by a car?
By a truck, to be specific.
Okay. But just enough to maim.
Yeah,
just like a couple weeks in the hospital.
Just a quick question. Who was that other artist that you just mentioned?
No one caught my joke. I said Chappelle Roan.
Oh, was it a joke?
It was a joke.
Or do you call her Chappelle Roan?
Her name is Chapel Roan, but I was trying to have a little joke.
It's Chappelle Roan now.
Nobody wanted to giggle. All right, Kim Porter's son, Quincy Brown, says that he and his siblings stand united in support of his father, Sean Diddy Combs, and they're even putting out a vlog-style reality show. This is crazy.
It is.
All of his kids actually put out a joint statement that says, the past month has devastated our family. Many have judged both him and us based on accusations, conspiracy theories, and false narratives that have spiraled into absurdity on social media. We stand united, supporting you every step of the way. We hold on to the truth, knowing it will prevail and nothing will break the strength of our family. We miss you and love you, Dad.
So the stories keep coming out and the accusations keep coming out every single day about Diddy. I mean, it's like multiple a day. I just told these guys during a commercial break about the personal trainer, John Doe, that is now filed, and the unspeakable things that he said happened to him at Diddy's mansion in L.A. after the BET Awards. So all this stuff is coming out. At what point in time, or is there never a time that as one of the adult kids of Diddy, do you look at your dad and say, no, you know what? This isn't everybody else. This is you. You did this. You caused this. You are putting us through this pain because of your actions.
Ooh.
Like, does that ever happen?
I don't know. Maybe down the line when they're forced to be faced with that reality, it seems like right now they're in, you know, a little bit delusional to that just being their father. But I also wonder, like, who's advising them? Because this decision to put this vlog out now was just as stupid as when he released that song telling the FBI, yes, oh, y'all had the wrong house. They're just doing things that it's pretty clear that whoever's advising them does not have their best interest at hand.
Yeah, it's absolutely a PR nightmare for the entire family. And as coincidence, in the next half an hour or so, we have Maya Reyes. She's a celebrity manager, and she's like, she does PR to the stars out in L.A. This is one of the first things that I want to ask her about is, as a PR agent, when your client's family now is putting out vlogs and blogs defending you as the agent, how do you put a stop to it? Because it clearly is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. All right. The former Abercrombie CEO is out after being arrested on sex trafficking charges. I'm going to tell you what message authorities are sending now that he's in handcuffs on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.
If you're living or you're working in Buford and your neighbor that is normally super, super nice and sweet has sort of this F you, I don't care attitude, or if you're working in Buford and your coworker's always been super nice, but now they're like, all of a sudden, today, they got this weird attitude like, I don't need this place. It's because the winning Powerball jackpot ticket was sold in Buford, Georgia last night.
No way.
And it is worth $478.2 million.
Oh, my God.
I ain't even coming to work.
What?
I'm just sending you guys a nice email saying, hey, meet me in the Bahamas.
What are you really going to get after taxes?
Yeah, right. You're going to be, no, right.
Are you really going to be happy? $270
million. A lousy $200
million. It's the first time since, 2016 that Georgia has had a Powerball jackpot winner. $478.2 million in Buford.
Wow.
Damn!
That
is damn. You told us to meet you in the Bahamas. You going to pay for it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. 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 Just making sure. Yeah.
All right. I was just having this talk with... I'll get into this another time. I want to hear about your husband, and is he being controlling?
Yeah, so it's the age-old question. Is my man being cute, or is he being controlling?
Mm.
Now, I've been with my husband for, you know, almost 20 years now, and I know his intentions are well-meaning, right? But I can't help but feel slightly controlled. And the dilemma that we are having right now is that I just need to escape for a second. I need to just get away from everything. And I want to take my 3.5-year-old with me. So,
oh, that sounds relaxing.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but just hear me out. So I want Jimmy and I to like go to a cabin for a weekend and just get away and get some fresh air and go outside and maybe like do a train ride, just have some fun, he and I. And I want Bart to be able to have the house to himself with the dogs. Like, I think he needs a break. I think I just need to get away from everything for a little bit and just kind of like a little bit of a reset. Cause the autumn anxiety is real. There's a lot of stuff going on. So I need a change of scenery. That's what it all boils down to. I just need a change of scenery. And I recognize that, my husband is just as stressed and his plate is just as full, if not more full. And so with everything he's got going on and how much he's had to step up with how busy I am with Jimmy, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give him a weekend so he can do what he needs to do, get caught up or whatever. And we'll do that. So I brought the idea to him. I'm like, hey, this weekend, I want to go to the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I had reached out to some friends with kids to see if they could go, but nobody's available. So I'm like, Jimmy and I are just gonna go by ourselves. And he's like, no, you're not. And I was like, pardon. He is worried that if I go by myself, Jimmy and I by myself, like if an accident occurs, I will be there in the middle of nowhere by myself. And then there will be our son and there will be nobody to assist. The example he used, like if I tripped and fell and busted my head open and it was laying there unconscious, right? Who would know? And I'm like, okay. But, like, what are the odds of that happening? And
well, he knows you pretty well, so.
What do you say, 50-50?
He must say,
yes. And I was just kind of like, I feel like that's just being a little bit excessive. Now, he is the worrier of the two of us. I am the happy-go-lucky, just whatever when it comes to the parenting and just kind of like, I wouldn't even say, I don't throw caution to the wind. I just don't overanalyze things like he does, right? Like he is very buttoned up when it comes to that stuff. And I'm just a little bit more impulsive, whatnot. He is not. He is the thinker by far on many different levels. So I'm just kind of like, I want to respect his position and that this is something he's concerned about and that he would be worried. Because he also brought up the fact that whenever we are in different cities or I go away for business or whatnot, we really hardly talk. Like, we'll text a little bit here or there, but we're not on the phone all the time. We don't do that. Now, if Jimmy's with me, we'll FaceTime at night before we go to bed, but that's it. Like, that's really the only communication we have. And that was another thing he brought up. He's like, you know, you could go the entire day and I wouldn't hear from you and that's not abnormal, but what if something happens and how am I supposed to know? So is it cute or is it controlling? And do I go or do I not go?
So I want to choose the words of my opinion very carefully, mostly because I'm going to be drinking with Bart all weekend.
Yeah. I forgot about that. I was about to say, since when do you choose your words carefully when issuing an opinion?
If I knew I wasn't going to see him for a while, I'd feel much more strongly about this.
We're literally hanging out together all weekend long.
Right, in Kentucky. I feel like it's controlling. And if I hate to make it worse, I'd be offended, actually.
I was a little bit. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. I'm not capable of going to the mountains with our son.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, again, I know his intent. I know he doesn't think that, but I can't help but take it that way. Mm-hmm. You know?
It does. I do understand the intent behind it because it does seem like very concerned. Like, oh, what if something happens? Mm-hmm. But it also, like, he wouldn't question that about himself. Like, I don't get the sense that he would be uncomfortable taking Jimmy to a cabin weekend alone by himself. So in a way, as a woman, this would make me question your confidence in my autonomy.
It's a very good point. Do you have any concern that he would hit his head if they went by themselves?
I don't, but he does. Uh-huh. And he brought that up to me. He's like, whenever you leave and I'm here with Jimmy by myself, those things pop into my head that we don't talk enough. And if something happened to me, you wouldn't know. And Jimmy would just be here with an unconscious dad. Like, he actually worries about that and thinks about that when he's alone with Jimmy and I'm not there, because apparently I don't check in enough.
I think that makes it more cute than controlling.
So, I mean, and when he threw that out there, I was like, well, one, why the hell have you never voiced that, that was a concern of yours, and maybe I'd throw an extra text or two in to make sure. Oh, and don't think I won't be like, are you still alive? Are you still alive?
Maybe we should get Bart on anti-anxiety medication. I don't know. Maybe that's the answer here.
Start crushing up my Lexapro and his coffee in the morning.
If it makes you feel better, Chad has told me the same thing.
Really?
I wanted to go with the kids, and he's like, no, what if something happens? But it just sounds like for you guys, at least, there's an easy solution, and it's just more check-ins. Just send each other an emoji every 2 hours.
Or just give up the
this
kid.
One.
Yes.
Give up the kid? Yeah. I mean, this is really, just eliminate the problem.
Dude,
it's not you or Bart.
We put $50,000 into that mofo. I am not giving him up.
You got to get your money back.
That ROI is not good.
You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
There are. Oh. Hello.
That's you.
We better? Yeah, that works. There are two cities in America that I believe nothing that comes out of these cities. Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California. I think it's all, what is it, sleight of hand?
Sleight of hand.
Look over here. Well, something else is going over there. And I just don't know what's real and what's not. So we've had Mayor Riaz on before. Man, she has 17 years of experience in the entertainment industry. She is PR to the star. She is a celebrity manager. We want to know what's the truth and what's not the truth. Hey, Maya.
Hey, how you doing, Bert?
Good. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No problem.
All right. So I think we probably got to start with this Diddy case. If you are doing PR for Diddy, look at you. What a panic, right? What a total panic. First of all, let's talk about Diddy and the PR and how you handle that. Then how you would handle the addition of the family. Abby was telling us today that one of the sons came out with this vlog where he's like partying and he's living this lavish lifestyle, definitely not helping his dad at all. So if you get the call, well, I guess the first question is, when do you get the call as a PR person if someone like Diddy is going to be going through an avalanche of accusations?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you imagine someone like Diddy being in the limelight for as long as he has would have had his trusted advisors. That would consist of his legal team, agents, publicists, managers. So he would have had that all in place. How this has been handled could have been done a lot better. I probably would not never take on a case like this as a publicist, but you would have had someone he knows for a long time doing it. Given the gravitas of the situation, his legal team have denied all accusations, but that's not enough. Every day it's been in the media, there's headlines after headlines, as well as accusers after accusers coming out. So his PR team should, at some point, right at the beginning, have given a statement, and that statement should have been more detailed. Obviously, you would have expected them to deny the accusations, but it should have the commitment to the legal process. The most important thing, and this is probably why his legal team have stayed quiet, PR team have stayed quiet, is because of the tone of that statement. Mm-hmm. It should be respectful and quite measured. And given the nature of the allegations, you would not expect them to be dismissive of the situation. So we've heard nothing of the sort. And then on the other hand, you've got his son partying, thinking, I mean, he's his own person. So you have to kind of weigh up who's advising him, what experience he's got being a youngster in this situation. But for his PR team to stay silent is a crisis in itself. You know, they're not managing any sort of crisis.
Does everybody in the team know about the rumors? Like, as the PR person, do you hear the rumblings of what's going on in a situation like this before it goes public?
I mean, I heard the rumblings over here in London. So how his PR team couldn't have, you know, there's rumors circling in it before they hit the media anyway. As a publicist or any person of his team that has some authority, you would have taken it to him, addressed it with him directly.
Have you ever have you ever dumped a client based on the rumors that were being circulated about him after you maybe did some research on him and found out this could be true? Have they ever done anything so bad where you dumped them before it came public?
Never, because I've luckily so far, touch wood, have chosen my clients quite carefully. However, there are rumors with all of my clients, and in which case you address it. And just like a solicitor would, you would just weigh up, is this rumors? Is this someone spreading malicious lies? Or could this have some basis? If it doesn't involve lawyers, courtrooms, then you're probably okay to kind of manage that, but you don't need a headache as a publicist like the one Diddy is giving everyone.
That's a migraine. That's not a headache. Yeah. That's a major migraine.
If we could throw a percentage on it, because I know Diddy did issue a video in the very, very beginning when all this stuff came out, right? So he was like there somewhere in the, like somewhere tropical because there's palm trees behind him, and he issued a video statement. And maybe that was just him, or maybe that was his team. Who's to say? But if you had to guesstimate a percentage, what percentage of celebrities go rogue, where like their PR team tells them you need to do X, Y, Z, but instead they do whatever the hell they want?
It depends who it is. Someone like a character of Diddy, I would expect he would have his own opinion, and it's vice versa. He calls the shots and everyone in his team would probably say how high. Obviously, people around him would be aware of the media game, because that's what it is, would know how to manage it and would advise him. But I think because this causes huge impact on him, on his career, on his reputation, he would, and also the fact whether he spends the rest of his life behind bars or not, this is why he would have issued a statement away from his PR team. And this is probably why we haven't seen anything from his publicist, any statement apart from legal, because he would think it's beyond that. I don't need them anymore. I've got lawyers. And that's where it's at.
My question is also surrounding that quote in quotations apology video that Diddy released. I'm just curious, if you were his celebrity manager at that time, would you have advised that he actually got in front of the camera and did that? And if so, would you have advised him to do it a different way?
Yeah, an apology always admits guilt. You have to be sorry of something. So I would say at that point, you need to stay quiet and let other people do the talking on your behalf, because other people on emotive, are able to provide constructive statements and are able to deal with it in a way that will make better headlines. Whereas if you're putting your talent, i.e. Diddy, in that situation that is quite raw and personal, it's going to not come across as great as it would if someone who is rehearsed in the media game would. So, yeah, I think that was a bad call.
For the people who are eventually going to be attached to this story, whether it's Diddy or people that have maybe been seen at some of these parties, how do you think we're going to see them play publicity defense? Do you think we're going to see a lot of people doing a lot of altruistic things to try and cover up anything nefarious that they've done in their past? Or do you think it's the smarter thing to lay low and be quiet?
I think at the moment, it's early thing they would do is lay low, stay quiet. But how long can you stay quiet? This is going on and it's going to be going on well into the new year in 2025. So there's only so much they can lay quiet. What I would say for them is it's important for them to come out and deny any knowledge of this. And we've probably seen some people coming out already saying, okay, they may have been at the parties, but they didn't necessarily know what was going on. And this is where, you know, photos like J-Lo have emerged, other people, and it's important for them to actually have a crisis management in somewhere like this. And this is where they can be advised by lawyers, their publicist managers, about what they say. But at the moment, it's everyone's talking about it, it's creating headlines. So they are very aware anything they say or do or any previous photos will come to light, and they need to just make sure that they're crisis managing it, making sure they don't see the light of day, and then address any statements by a publicist.
This is Maya Reyes. She is the PR to the stars. We have been talking about the tragedy with Liam Payne now for over a week. Is there somebody generally inside the circles of celebrities that will reach out to somebody like a PR agent and say, I just want to let you know your client has a problem with drugs? And is that the way that you find out about it?
Yeah, let me go back a bit. So when I start working with a talent, the first thing I ask my celebrity clients are, what's in your closet? Like, tell me your secrets, because if they don't, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to get a call from a showbiz editor and I'm going to be off guard when they phone me and ask me about a situation. So the relationship with managers and publicists are, with the talent, tend to be quite tight. It's a bit like this, and it needs to be. And I often, you know, I am lucky that I look younger than I am, and my celebrities look at me thinking, I can't possibly tell you this. You look far too innocent. And I'm like, trust me, I've heard it all before. And then once I've gone, I'm Googling, and, you know, I get it. But I often know things that their partners, siblings, people closest to them don't know. And this is because I'm in a position to protect them as well as poach them. So as a publicist, my job isn't just to promote celebrities, it's to protect them. What does that mean? It means protect them from the limelight if they need to, protect them if they need to go to rehab. And I've had situations where clients have in private gone to rehab and needed to seek help for situations. So I would be surprised if people around him, closest advisors, didn't know what was going on with him. However, if a client wants to hide something and they're not majorly in the spotlight at the moment, i.e. they don't have a tour, they're not on a promotion tour of a movie, you can then have that little bit of a distance where they don't want to tell you things because they want to have this image that they portrayed to the media. So my guess is, you know your client very well because you're with them a lot. You're on the phone to them every day at all times of the day. So I would say people around him would have known. However, it's a bit like, what can they do? But like we said about the Diddy conversation, if a client doesn't want to address any issues, they won't address any issues. I can't force any client of mine, if they needed rehab, to go into rehab. I can advise and bring people to them and get people to call them, but I can't physically do that. And that's a sad thing about fame, and it's very lonely, and that's why you see issues that everyday people might not face in their lives, or if they do face it, they're able to handle it a lot better.
One last thing, much more superficially. How can we, from the outside looking in, what are the notifications that a celebrity couple is really faking it just for promotion? Is there anything we can see and go, okay, that's not real?
That's going to be hard because you've got talented people. If people, if publicists and managers want you to believe something, you can bet that the public are going to believe it. There's going to be secret images, secret recordings coming out that are rehearsed. There's going to be, I don't know, voice notes leaked that are clearly planned, photos on social medias, outings. So, look, if people want to pretend there's a relationship, it's often a good strategy from a PR point of view, not just to promote, but also to deviate from anything that might be lurking that they don't want aired in public.
Just say it.
So
right.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. It'll be hard for the public to know because you've got talented people with decades of experience.
Yeah.
Just say it. You don't believe Andrew Garfield and the Chicken Shop Girl have a thing going
That's
on.
That's the one I'm looking at. Right there. It's a total dupe,
100%.
Man. It's a total dupe. He's got a project coming out. He's faking those googly, flirty eyes, but people want to believe so badly. So I was wondering if you could see something we couldn't that is definitely an exclamation point like, oh, yeah, that's just made up.
I think when you've got a promotion game and it is amplified to the stage that this story is, you think, yeah, there's more to it. And this happens all the time. It happens more than the average person would realize. So it's not a shock that this could be for
a PR
stunt.
Right. Believe nothing. Believe nothing. Hi, Maya, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. So much serious stuff going on in Hollywood. Maybe next time we have you on, we can lighten it up a little bit, eh?
Maybe. Who knows?
All right. Have a great day. It's The Burt Show.
You're on The Burt Show.
I don't think this is politically correct, but I think we're about to have ourselves a racial draft.
So that's exactly what's going on because the black community has been in an uproar in talking about this since it happened. And the video itself is funny. But Steven Tyler, lead singer of Aerosmith, was on an interview recently. And I found this audio on Twitter. And it's on Naima status, and he was talking about his past, and I'll just let the video speak for itself. Here's what he found out.
So we traced the family tree back to my four times great grandfather, Robert Elliott, mm-hmm. who is your great, great, great grandfather. Mm-hmm. Robert Elliott was part African American.
I knew it. Thank you, God. I always felt akin to black people. Always.
Did you know it?
I had no idea, but I mean, I felt it my whole life.
Aww, you know? Amazing. They sort of think that Robert Elliott Sr. might have been an indentured servant.
Wow.
He was in the War of 1812.
Yeah?
And he was a drummer.
Oh my God, that's too good.
And you were a drummer first, right? Was that your first instrument?
Yeah.
You want to really impress me? Tell Morgan Wallen the same thing. Let's see what his reaction is.
We don't want more. See, now, shout out to Steven Tyler, because in full transparency, as a black man, if you ever are white and find out you got some black in you, that's exactly how I want you to respond.
Right?
Thank God.
Yes.
That man was excited.
I felt it.
I always knew it.
I knew it.
I was hitting them drums a little different. I knew something was going on.
Could you imagine if the reaction would have been like the completely opposite? Like,
that's what Morgan Wallen would have done.
Oh,
that's not accurate. That's what he would have said. All right, so Amber yesterday was telling me that she knows that my house is haunted, and she's a pro. It's not like she drove by and she's like, oh, there's a haunted house. So she's a pro. This is what she does as her side hustle. So tell them about your side hustle again. Tell them about the very first pieces of audio you brought in from my house, because Amber came in there when I was away one weekend, and I knew she was going to be in there.
She stuck through the window. Snuck right on in there.
and found that there were ghosts. But yesterday she told me that the spirits in part two, she didn't realize how haunted it was.
Yes. So for those of you just joining, I have a paranormal investigating side hustle. It's a YouTube channel called Paranormal Blacktivity, which Bert really loves that title. And so when I went to Bert's house, when you guys heard the segment, the audio the last time I was here, that was before I got a chance to really sit down and figure out part one, part two, part three. I didn't know where it was going to be. So you guys heard a lot of good stuff. Now, in part two, I did get a chance to use a tool that I've been meaning to use for quite some time, which is literally just a regular voice recorder where we can get EVPs. Now, I know a lot of you may know that EVPs do stand for electronic voice phenomenon. And I like doing it with a voice recorder instead of a spirit box and necrophonic app because it's just you and a voice recorder and silence. And whatever you pick up, it's just something that is physically there with you. So being able to get a good EVP without any type of electronic help, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. So I got a few things from EVP in that video, but it's going to be one of the ones that you have to kind of watch the video because if you're not wearing headphones, it's really difficult to hear. So we got some male moans. Mm-hmm. We got some female moans. I heard something running in your home, like in the hallway, it sounded mm-hmm. like some running. I got a chance to hear, I believe your dad, you're going to have to hear that for yourself to let me know, mm-hmm. and many other amazing things. So part two definitely made me feel like, if there's something in your house, I do not think that it's bad. I just think it's a lot going on. It's like a highway of spirits.
Yeah, I've told these guys a couple of different times. I've adopted this dog that will all of a sudden go from 0 to 60 and run across the room like she's startled by something, and it's happening over and over and over again. She's a quirky dog, so I haven't really embraced it, but I've heard stuff in the house. It doesn't bother me. I believe in ghosts. I've told you guys this. I believe in spirits. I don't think they're Hollywood-like, so it wouldn't surprise me, and it wouldn't shock me, and it certainly wouldn't scare me, but I want to hear it.
Now, I don't know if are they going to be playing for last week, the last time we were here as well? Because the one that I really wanted to share with you, again, if it's possible, was the 333.
Sure.
That one was insane because I remember your faces when you heard that. Three different voices, three different people literally speaking with you in the Trinity that actually happens to have a paranormal, definition to it. So the video will be out today.
Okay.
It's actually out right now on Paranormal Activity. But the one that we want you to hear today is something dealing with your renovations. A lot of people don't realize this, but spirits do not like change.
Is that right?
Do not like change. Oh, don't like it.
And I have completely changed this house. I don't know what the history is of it, but it's kind of a ranch style 1962 home, which is really not my style at all. It's bricks, which I'm having changed this week. Inside the home looks completely different than it did when I first got it. It had dark hardwood floors before, dark brick fireplace, and that's now black and modern, and the whole thing has changed.
Oh, well, that explains a lot of things that happened. That's on you then.
Yeah.
That's on you. Yeah. So I actually asked the spirits.
They're not paying rent, so I don't know.
I actually asked the spirits, I said, hey, what do you feel about Bert's renovating the home? How do you feel about the renovation she's done to this home?
Pissed. Come on. This is one of your pranks.
No, it is not.
This is all that.
Swear.
She can show you the video.
I have the video. It says pissed.
Play it again.
How do you feel about the renovation she's done to this home?
Pissed.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, yo. What?
Swear to me you guys are jacking.
No, I promise.
This was Amber sent this. Amber sent it to Tommy. Tommy listened, and he sent it to me. He goes, you know, can you hear this? And I go, the other one, like, because there's a couple clips. I go, I don't hear the other clips, but that ghost definitely said pissed when she asked him or her about the renovation.
You know what? So is my girlfriend.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The former CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch is now out on bond after paying $10 million. He's currently being charged with sex trafficking, where authorities say he used his power, wealth, and influence to wield control over his victims. This all has to do with Mike Jeffries, who led Abercrombie & Fitch for more than 20 years. He was under arrest, or he is under arrest, as a part of a federal investigation into a sex trafficking and interstate prostitution case. There's some pretty bombshell allegations where actually 8 men accused him and his inner circle of sexually exploiting them at lavish parties around the world. That sounds very familiar, considering everything going on with Diddy. Also under arrest in this case is Matthew Smith, his longtime partner, who allegedly attended these parties, and also a guy named James Jacobson, who allegedly recruited the victims and acted as the middleman in terms of arranging these sex events. Authorities are saying this is going to send a major message to anybody who thinks that they can use their power to get what they want.
The message from today's prosecution is clear. Sexually exploiting vulnerable human beings is a crime. In doing so, by dangling dreams of a future in fashion or modeling or any other business, is no different. My office and our law enforcement partners will always prioritize standing up for victims, no matter their gender and no matter how powerful the wrongdoers think they are. We will hold them to account.
Take them all down. I feel like this is like the great reckoning.
Yeah, literally. I mean, nobody who thinks they are safe is safe. I mean, we're getting all of the powerful people at the top. And we were talking earlier about, like, you know, Diddy, of course, is the biggest name out there, but he may not even be the worst of everyone who's about to get caught.
I believe that. I believe that. I'm not saying Diddy is the fall guy, because Diddy is responsible for all that he has done as well. But I don't believe that Diddy is the only guy that has the power or has done a lot of the things he's done. I believe, and I hope I'm wrong, but I believe he's genuinely only one of many.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the allegations that are coming out, and like one of the recent ones with the personal trainer who's going just by John Doe, saying he got passed around at one of Diddy's parties. Diddy did something to him, but then passed him on to an A-list celebrity. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of allegations saying it's Diddy and another A-list celebrity. So yeah, it's only going to be a matter of time.
You know, we've been talking about these high-profile sex trafficking cases, but I mean, we here live in the city. In this city, it's like the number one sex trafficking city in the country right here. So it's not just a celebrity thing. It's happening all over the country.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that this sends a massive message to all the people who don't think that they necessarily have the wealth and power for it. If you're kind of just the quote-unquote everyday trafficker, like, let it be known, like, this is the time to stop, because what you're doing is absolutely horrific. Something that I saw on some entertainment outlets that I'm pretty shocked about is they're already doing a Nightline special about Liam Payne. He's going to be the subject of a new Impact crossover with Nightline on Hulu. It debuts this week, and it's basically all about what happened the night that Liam Payne passed away and everything that happened in that hotel room in Argentina, his fatal fall that would later happen that night, the drugs involved. People that are being interviewed are a social psychologist, some One Direction fans, ABC News contributors. And it just seems like, is this not too soon for something that literally happened a week ago?
Yeah, I feel like the turnaround on this is almost kind of crass.
Mm-hmm.
Like the family, like his dad is still in Argentina with his body.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, yeah. I don't.
I mean, what's the line of decency with this thing anymore?
I know we're talking about it. Like, yeah, we're including it in the entertainment buzz.
And who do you blame? Because there are people that have a thirst for this kind of thing, or these specials wouldn't happen this quickly.
I know.
There hasn't even been a funeral yet.
Yeah.
That feels entirely too fast. Now,
I don't even think the full autopsy has come out. Like, yeah. I think a partial toxicology report came out to just let us know what was in his system. But, like, we don't even really fully know what happened.
Okay. Then you just hit the nail on the head. Because I feel like we don't let, for lack of a better term, we don't let things breathe for a second. We don't wait to gather the information. We're always so quick to judge, or quick to take a stance, or, you know, quick to pass an opinion. Whereas we need to normalize sitting for a moment and gathering information and then putting together a more robust picture of what's actually going on.
I don't know. I feel like there's a tremendous hypocrisy going on right now. Here we have been talking about it for over a week, but what's the difference between TMZ or a TV special coming out or us talking about it every single day?
I think the difference is we're kind of the lightning rod for what people are talking about in their everyday lives, and we're not trying to put out more information from random social psychologist trying to exploit what happened to this guy that's now impacting his friends, his family, and millions of fans around the world.
Yeah, I feel like what we're doing, like, as information comes out, Abby's delivering it. Like, okay. We're not putting a special together and going out and seeking other people, trying to piece together what we think, quote unquote, happened the night he fell off the balcony.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Easiest way to win $100, but it's equally easy to lose $100 with Lose Burt's Money.
The jazz is back. You gotta shimmy, man. You can't not shimmy. I
love this song.
Yeah.
old lady shimmy, man. Yeah. All right, let's get our three contestants on. Good morning, Jasmine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Wilkes Barre.
All right, Danielle, good morning. You are on The Burt Show. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Calling from Athens.
From Athens. All right. Go Dogs. Shanika, good morning. You are on The Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you calling us from?
Stone Mountain.
From where?
Stone Mountain.
Okay. You guys understand how this game is played? If not, I will tell you right now. I am going to give you all the same trivia question. There is $100 right in front of me right now. Okay. If you get it right initially, you will get $100. But with each incorrect answer, we subtract $10. Okay?
Okay.
Got it.
We got it. All right. Jasmine, you were the first to call in, so you get first shot at this trivia question. 15% of people have been distracted by this during sexy time. What is it?
Phone.
The phone. Great answer. And I would assume that's a lot more than 15%. Not correct. So we are now down to $90.
Correct. Danielle, for $90.
I'm going to say pets.
15% of people have been distracted by pets during sexy time. Great answer. Not the one I'm looking for. Shanika, good morning. You are on The Burt Show. Tell us, 15% of people... I've been distracted by this during sexy time. What is it for?
$80.
The TV.
The TV. All great answers. Not this one, though. 15%. Jasmine, back to you. Same question for?
$70.
$70.
They're kids.
Your kids. Good answer. Good answer. Nope. That's not working. Nope. So now we go to Danielle for
$60.
I'm going to go with thinking of a previous person.
Oh, that's really great. That's a great answer, but it's not the right one. Not the one I'm looking for anyway. So now we are down to
$50 to Shanika.
Hello, Shanika. Let's go.
A cramp.
Hey, tally ho.
I pulled a hammy.
Yeah. Is you
my
hydrated?
My toes curling.
Gotta be hydrated. Good answer. Not the one I'm looking for, though. So we're going to subtract another $10. We're at what?
We are at Jasmine for $40.
Jasmine, 15% of people have been distracted by this during sex.
Thinking of their ex.
Thinking of the ex. Another great answer. Okay, but not the one we're looking for. We continue now with Danielle for how much?
30.
What do you got, Danielle?
I'm going with bubble gut.
Bubble gut. That is a pure panic situation, man, and it really changes what you're about to do. Right? Good answer. Not the one I'm looking for. So we are now down another 10.
Yes, so now we are to Shanika for $20.
$20, Shanika.
I'm gonna say lose interest. You get tired.
Lose interest.
You get tired.
Damn, you get right tired. I'm just tired.
You know what? Just never mind.
Just kidding. Can we take a break? This is like a football game. This is just gonna be the first quarter.
Intermission.
We're gonna go in. We're gonna get hydrated. We're gonna get some food, and we'll come on back. Very good answer, but not the one I'm looking for. All right,
here we go. Last chance for $10, Jasmine.
I'm gonna say they're hungry. Sustenance.
Oh. They're hungry.
I get distracted because I need snacks.
Stomach rumbling.
Stop what you're doing.
Abby needs a sweet treat. Someone get DoorDash on the line.
I need carbs. Very good answer. Not the one we're looking for. So nobody gets any cash. This is my favorite game.
And your business managers as well.
Yep. 15% of people have been distracted by this during sexy time. It is hair in the mouth. Hair in the mouth.
Don't specify which one. We know.
Going to.
I'm all set.
Any kind of hair, 15%.
Yep.
Would have gotten you the $100.
The forbidden dental floss.
The Bird Show.
All right, here's your kid warning right now. If you're driving with kids in the car, we're going to be talking about the sex.
You say it so just weird and creepy.
So, all right, follow me here for a second. There was a time back in the day where I think I asked my dad for like a drink. He was drinking a beer. And he's like, oh, so old school. Like, if you're going to have this one beer, you're going to have six beers, right? He's trying to break me of like drinking a beer. I've heard this done with like cigarette smoking also. Like, parents catch a kid smoking a cigarette. So they're like, oh, you like cigarettes? Smoke 12 right now. And they end up so sick that they never want to do it again. I now use the same analogy for some women now that are using escorts for controlled cheating. Are you ready for this?
I don't think I am.
So I was reading this article yesterday.
You really don't. Let him cook. Okay.
There is an escort in Australia that says she's getting like a surprising amount. She's seeing an uptick of women calling her and other escorts for their husbands. So sometimes it's to have like three of them all, you know. So
a little menage a trois action.
A little fantasy, right? But a lot of them now are starting to call it controlled cheating, where their husbands are cheating on them and they have been chronic cheaters. So they think that if they control the cheating and supply the escort, that it's now business and they won't stray outside of their marriage.
So my question is for the men who are the chronic cheaters, because obviously there's like a level of excitement, adrenaline, etc. If your wife is choosing the person that you're going to cheat on her with, doesn't that take like all the excitement out of it? Well, of like trying to get away with it?
Depends who she picks.
I'm picking the troll under the bridge. I ain't picking Andrea
little sweetie.
I don't know. Answer that.
I feel set up answering that because you got to be a cheater to know the answer to that question.
Right? Good answer.
Like a setup.
I would think as a general answer though that I don't think the rush from most cheaters is the chase. I think it's just something different.
But your wife is choosing it. The wife is choosing you're different.
That's a really good question. I mean, when I've heard men discuss cheating on platforms, I've heard it. It seems like it's kind of split, where some men do it because they just want something different. And some men actually do get a thrill out of the like, oh, I could get caught, and probably would rather sneak around to do it than just have it laid in front of them.
I see that what she's trying to do here, what she's trying to say, what these women are trying to do. Like, if you're going to cheat, at least let me call and get you what you like. Okay, so I know where it is. I know who it is.
Get you what you like or get you what I prefer you to have?
I don't know.
I think it's the latter.
I don't know.
Right, she's going to look exactly like me and you're going to be thinking about me the whole time.
Right, we call it follow-up Thursday. There are storylines on the Burt Show that aren't closed and you guys will not have that. So we do the homework and we try to give you the closure. Today, Mo?
So Marina went through her boyfriend's phone after dating him for only a month. This happened in 7/17/24, and she claimed it was out of pure curiosity, but we weren't buying it. So while snooping through his phone, she decided to read the group chat messages. And in the text, her boyfriend was making plans with his friends and mentioned bringing Marina along. But all of his friends were against it. So Marina was disturbed and wanted to know why his friends disliked her. So we helped her take it a step further by reaching out to her boyfriend's best friend. He explained that his friends don't like her for several reasons. She doesn't let him go out alone, she's paranoid, and she always accuses him of cheating. So by the end of it, Marina had dug herself into a deeper hole. And we thought the only way for her to recover from this would be by falling on the quote-unquote crazy sword and taking accountability.
So I handled this one. I reached out to Marina and unfortunately didn't hear back. So something told me I should reach out to Caleb, Marina's boyfriend's best friend, who Katie messaged for the closure call. He responded back immediately, and here's what he wrote to me. Hi, Tommy. It's good to hear from you all again. I feel like I really owe you one. Marina and my best friend, Marina and my friend are no longer together. Thank God. I won't lie. I didn't listen to the episode because I get really bad secondhand embarrassment. And I knew that listening to Marina would be so cringe. So I'm sorry if that's not the update you wanted, but I think it's obvious that this was for the best. Once Katie and I stopped messaging, I immediately went to my friend, let him know that not only did Marina snoop through his phone, but she had gone behind his back to talk to a radio show about him. He was reasonably pretty freaked out, and I gave him the advice I'd been waiting to give him for ages. Dump her, in capital letters. I know they had a conversation that day, but he didn't tell me the exact details. All I really know is that it didn't go well. She freaked out and he ended things. He was definitely depressed for a little while, but not for long because she showed her true colors again almost immediately. She essentially started stalking him. She blew up his phone till he blocked her. Then she started popping up at the bar she knows we hang out at to try and get him to talk to her. When that didn't work, she started bringing a new guy to the bar, I guess to show him off. They would make out in the corner the whole night. Meanwhile, she's looking at us to make sure we noticed.
Bart is a lucky man.
Right, you have, girl.
No idea.
We changed bars after that. So far, that's worked. We haven't run into her again, and my dude is obviously completely over her, if not a little scared. I only hope that in her next relationship, she finds someone who's interested in that level of crazy, and she leaves my friend alone for good. Thanks for everything, Caleb.
You really mean thanks for everything?
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.